Amen. Well, you know, our district superintendent was with us last Sunday, so this is my first opportunity to minister the Word of God to you after returning from our sabbatical. And as you already see on the screen in front of you, the theme for today, God's Word to us, is renew. Renew. And I just thought I'd take a moment to talk just for a couple minutes about our sabbatical experience. I think one thing is for sure, I learned that it's a good idea. I've been in ministry, 27, 28 years? I've never had a sabbatical. You get the idea of sabbatical, same as Sabbath, which means to cease. So I've learned the value of it. I've heard many talk about the value of it for a number of years. In fact, I can remember from my days up in Massachusetts where God led me to my wonderful wife. There was a church there just north and west of Boston. They actually required their pastor to take a sabbatical. It was either every 2 or 3 years for 3 months. So I'm thinking, that's a good plan. What do you think about that? But certainly have learned the value of it. In a number of ways, the last 3 years have just been difficult and even depleting. And how many knows that there are times that you need to renew? Right? And certainly went in the beginning days in December, hopeful for restoration and renewal. I think some came. I don't know that I was totally able to unburden, but it's a process, isn't it? It's certainly a process. Another positive came, got to see some extended family more. Like, I've seen my mother more in the last few months than I think the last 2 or 3 years combined. She has no problem with that, and I know our children has no problem with that. Another positive thing that developed during our sabbatical time, we actually sat down and crafted a family vision statement. So we now have a Tucker family vision statement. So that was fun, and everybody had input, and their input was included. Everything from honoring God and loving one another, serving others, and even some ideas of having some crazy fun in there from time to time. Who do you think that came from? Well, it was my wife, of course. Oh, you can probably guess where some of the crazy fun ideas came from if you think through all of our family members. Now, not new this year, but something we certainly did. In the last few years, our family has gotten into the habit of choosing a word for the year. And it's a word that we take and say, okay, we're going to work on this for this year. And anybody want to guess what my word is? Renew. All right, so I'm going to share my word with you. And a few weeks ago, I had all of them memorized. I'm not sure I've remembered all of the family's words, but I've certainly learned that renewal is not an event, it's a process, at least sometimes. And one of the passages, and this is what we do, we'll choose a word and we'll go to look at a number of passages that speak to the word that we want to work on and get better at through the course of the year. And one of the passages that came up for my word this year for renewal, it's a familiar one. It's Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31 is the text that we're going to read today. So Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. And here's God starting with a question through the prophet Isaiah. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, now some translations say those who wait on the Lord, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Lord, today we pray that your word would truly speak to us, strengthen us, renew our hope, renew us today, God, in your house and in your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you were to step back and take a look at the whole of Isaiah's writings, you will find that the theme of Isaiah's book is God himself. Okay? And chapter 40 that we just read here from highlights comfort for God's people. Any of God's people out here today? All right, you need some of his comfort? He has some for you. That's what the idea of chapter 40 is all about. Isaiah defines everything by its relation to God. And woven into his writings, Isaiah, he announces God's surprising plan of grace and glory for his rebellious people. Yes, Israel had been rebellious. Have you ever rebelled against the Lord? Let me give you a little background. Some generations earlier, God made a promise to Abraham. Remember him? God made a promise to Abraham. He said, Abraham, your descendants are going to bless the world. And then a few generations later, God made a promise to another one of his choice servants, David, King David. What did he promise David? David, from your throne, I'm going to lead. Or your throne is going to lead to salvation for the world. Who is he talking about? Jesus. These are great promises. Abraham, your descendants are going to bless the world. David, it's from your throne. Salvation for the world is going to come. But by Isaiah's time, Abraham's descendants and those who were left over from David's dynasty no longer trusted. They no longer believed the promises of God. And now God's people are aligning themselves with the ways of this world and the pagan influences of the world. And when that happened, it redirected them away from God's promises and away from his blessings, but toward his judgment. So now, because of their disobedience, Israel has lost God's provision. Israel has now lost God's protection. And where do they find themselves? In captivity again in Babylon, don't they? So here they are in Babylonian captivity. But let me ask you today, is God's purpose defeated by Israel's sin? No. God still has a plan to release his hopeful promises to the children of Israel again. Now you read through Isaiah, through a lot of Isaiah, his tone as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is one of confronting God's people and confronting their sin that they've been committing. But then there's this shift in the tone of his writing to one of assurance, and as we mention here out of chapter 40, to one of comfort. God starts to comfort these exiles with words like this in Isaiah. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. How many would like to see the glory of God revealed in your life? The glory of God revealed in his church again, maybe like never before. Amen? And I got to tell you this morning, this would be good news if you were in exile in a godless country like Israel now was. God is beginning to send these words of comfort and assurance through his servant Isaiah that he's going to send a world-transforming display of his glory. God is providing a comforting promise of hope for the brokenhearted. God is assuring them that he is incomparably powerful over all things, and he promises strength for endurance to all who wait upon him, to all who hope for him. This is what God will do for you. Now, I'm sure this was great to hear. Come on, let's be honest. The people of Israel was suffering a major setback. A major setback. They had gone from the great promises of God. Your descendants, Abraham, are going to bless the world. Come on, that would put a little pep in your step if you knew you were one of those descendants, wouldn't it? They had gone from your descendants are going to bless the world. They had gone from, hey, David, from your throne, I'm going to send the Savior of the world. If you knew you were one of those people in that lineage, with that inheritance, in that covenant, that's exciting, isn't it? But now it's all gone. It's all gone. They've suffered a major setback. They'd gone from these great promises to now being in captivity in a pagan nation under godless authority. But here's the good news. God never suffers a setback. And He helps those who do. Let's go back to verse 28. God never suffers a setback, and He helps those who do. So here's the question. Do you not know? That's a good question today. How about you? Do you not know? The question goes on. Have you not heard? Now, it's almost like a rhetorical question because He's talking to the people of God. They knew the covenant promises, didn't they? So really, it's a wake-up question. It's not a question, do you really know or not? Are you ignorant of the facts? But hey, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. And they're hearing this thinking, oh my goodness, He is the Lord. He is the everlasting God. Why on earth are we in this situation? Because we walked away from His commands and His precepts and we're sinning against Him. So here we are again in Babylonian captivity. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired. Anybody here ever get tired? Come on, who's going to go home today and take a Sunday afternoon nap? All right. Am I the only one that falls asleep on Sunday afternoons? Boy, sometimes you go to bed exhausted and you wake up, you're still tired. Right? But you got to climb out of that comfy, cozy bed and go to work anyhow. Right? Major bummer. Some of you with the snow on the ground, you didn't even want to come to the 11 o'clock service this morning. Right? Is that true? But God says, hey, He never grows tired or weary. Thank God for that, because I think I could have worn Him out myself if He could grow tired or weary, right? And His understanding no one can fathom. Come on, verse 29 again. He gives strength to the weary. Did you come weary today? You know, my prayer for you is that you don't leave like you came. God's got some strength for you today. He gives. He's revealing His heart here. He wants to give you His strength. He gives strength to the weary, and He increases the power of the weak. What's God trying to do here? God is wanting these exiles to know something. He's like, hey, my children, my covenant people who are in captivity, I want you to know that the everlasting God, I both see your plight and I have a plan and the power to restore you from your position of weakness. And if you came today and you're in a position of weakness, He still has a plan by His own great power to restore you. Verse 30 again. Even the youths. Anybody here from New York? You know, there's, you know, youths. And if you're from like the New York, even the youths grow weary, right? Some other places across the country might. Even the youths, the youth. Grows tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. You know, what's He doing here? God is saying human strength at its very best, human strength at its peak, at its very best, it inevitably fails. That's what He's saying here. The sharpest minds in the world at your sharpest. Even the foolish things of God are wiser than the best brilliance that mankind can come up with. So no matter how brilliant, no matter how young and vibrant and strong you are, inevitably human strength will always fail you. You need to rely on God and His strength. Only the promises of God can sustain human perseverance. God is saying even young people will faint. But not him. His store of energy and power have this endless supply, and it never weakens. It's better than even nuclear power. And now here we are again in verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord, some translations we've already established, but those who wait for the Lord, those who hope in the Lord. Where's your hope today? Who are you putting your hope in? What are you putting your hope in? Where are you placing your hope today? It says here, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. If you keep going after this, this person, this substance, this theory, this whatever, and you're still drained, now there might be a little uptick, but then you find out you're worse off than when you started, and you wonder why you can't find renewal out of that, because it's not in the Lord. None of those other things can make this promise to you. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. Don't you wish you could just take off running and never get tired? Don't you wish you never had to go to bed unless you wanted to, because you just had endless storage of energy, right? No, we can't do that. No, even the best runners in the world, even the best marathon runners in the world, they need to take a break. They need to renew the body, restore the depleted muscles that they've used. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know what the idea here is? The idea here is, come alongside the one who never suffers a setback. Come alongside the one who never runs out of energy. Come alongside the one who has an endless supply of power. He never suffers a setback. Come and savor the promises of God by faith, until the time they are fulfilled. In other words, come to me and renew. Come to me. It's an offer Jesus himself made, isn't it? Oh, you are weary. Take my yoke, my burden upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And oh, I love the imagery here. They will soar on wings like eagles. Come on, who wants to soar with me a little bit today? Okay, if you want to, go ahead and put those arms out. Just don't hit the person next to you. Come on, are there any soars in the house today? Yeah, I got a couple. Anybody else? Come on, you want to do some soaring today. There you go. I see some soars out there. I can see those wings spread out there. All right. Yeah, I love the imagery here. They will soar. I just want to jump off the stage and fly over. No, okay. You'd like to see that too, wouldn't you? How about we'll save that for another time, right? Any bird watchers in the house today? Come on, you like to watch birds. Yeah? I used to think that was for the birds, right? You know, my wife is a bird watcher. She enjoys watching birds. So hanging from a tree in our backyard, we have a bird feeder and another type of feeder called a suet. That's more for the woodpeckers. And, okay, I must confess, I've gotten a little into it over time. At first, I'm like, okay, whatever. But, you know, it's interesting, and I'll watch the birds from time to time, and it's amazing. You look out, there could be a nice bright red cardinal out there, and we've seen blue jays, we've seen doves, another type of a bluebird on the back. It's just absolutely beautiful, sparrows. And then there's these, I don't know, these blackbirds with these brown spots, and they're just mean. They're bullies, they chase the other birds away. I mean, they're just, well, angry birds, right? and we've got a bright red-headed woodpecker out there, and I even got my wife this list, so when a bird comes that we don't know what it is, we can open up our trusty dusty both sides bird indicator. Look at this. I mean, who knew? And this is specific to like our area. And some of them have a beautiful yellow and different spots. And just recently this year, I think it's the first arrival of what we think is an eastern bluebird. Who knows what an eastern bluebird is? Right? So it's been very interesting to observe these birds and watch them. And then from time to time, there's what I think is a hawk. Oh, he's big. And he got a beak. And he'll sit over on the fence. Or he'll come and sit in the tree. And it's amazing, when the hawk shows up, all of the other birds are gone. All right, nowhere to be found, right? Because the hawk is not after the food in the feeder. The hawk is after the birds that eat the food in the feeder. And somehow they know that. And they don't want to be lunch for the hawk. So when the hawk is there, and all of the other ones are gone. I don't know where they go. We haven't observed that much. Maybe into the bushes off the side. But there's all these different kind of birds. There's some odd birds. I'm glad I'm not a penguin, right? Or an ostrich that sticks its head in the sand, right? But there's a lot of great birds out there. Beautiful. They're colorful. Birds like falcons. But come on, what's the most majestic? And I'm not talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, in case you're wondering today, any football fans in the house? The most majestic and even fierce of all of the birds is the eagle. Why do you think God didn't say here, and you will soar on wings like pigeons? Right? You will soar on wings like a cardinal. I don't know. That just doesn't have the same oomph to it, does it? What does he say? You will rise up and you will soar on wings like the most majestic of the birds, the most fierce of the birds, and you will soar on wings like eagles. And even more, and as much as you and I can have this image of us soaring. Come on, you got images in your head. Boy, these problems that are plaguing me, I want to soar over them now, right? This issue in my life, this situation, I want to soar over that. I want to get out of that. I want to soar like an eagle. You know, but as much as we can have this image of us soaring high like an eagle, in addition, we need to know this. The people of Israel, when they heard or read these words of God through the prophet Isaiah, they would have known that it also meant something else. You know what it would have reminded them of? We had communion today. As often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do so in remembrance of me. When Israel heard these words or read these words from Isaiah, they had a remembrance too, and they would have understood that these words alluded to the Exodus miracle. After the great miracle of what God did for Israel in the Exodus, they'd been in bondage all of these years to Egypt, but then God heard their cry and sent a deliverer, and of course the plagues and all of that, and then they're out, and they cross the Red Sea, and he wipes out an army, and he takes care of them for 40 years in the land or in the wilderness and leads them into the land of promise. They would have been reminded of Exodus chapter 19 verse 4. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. By the way, God is the goal. The person of Jesus is the goal. Not just victory from something or over something. Your greatest reward is not what God can do for you. It's He Himself. It's He Himself. So now, through Isaiah, God is casting a vision for a new Exodus. led by this same God from Babylon. And it brings to mind a verse from the beginning of this chapter on comfort. You go back to the beginning of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, it says this, a voice of one calling, "In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Isn't that what God did for Israel? He prepared a way in the wilderness. In other words, in the deepest, the darkest, the most drought-ridden season of your life, that's where you make a way for God. That's easy to do when everything is wonderful and plush, right? And the fruit trees are bearing. No. In here, he's beginning to turn their attention on being comforted and assurance of God, a voice of one calling. In the wilderness, in the doubt, in the difficulty, in the depletion, in the discouragement, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for God. In those drought, desert moments, those arid seasons you're in, come on, make a straight way for God. Amen? And I believe he's saying the same thing to us here in this place today. It's a little shorter message, and I'm going to wrap it up here in the next few minutes because I wanted to be sure that we left time to pray for everyone who wants prayer in the house of the Lord today. So let me ask you, I wonder if there's anyone here today. You need to prepare the way for God in your wilderness. To make straight a highway for God in your desert. Whatever that desert may be today. Why? So he can renew you. He can renew your strength. And you can once again soar, or for the first time, soar on wings as eagles do. Can I remind you today, beloved, God has still never suffered a setback. And he still helps those who do. Are you here today and your life is in a season of setback? God still helps those who suffer setbacks. Maybe you know the story of something great God has done for someone else. Or maybe he has done something great for you in your past. But today, you are the one that's in need of another Exodus miracle. The God that led the children out of Egypt. And then the God that ultimately did it again out of Babylonian captivity. Maybe he's done it for your mother, your father, a family member, a friend. Maybe he's done it in your past. But here you are again. You're in another desert. You feel captive to some things going on in your life. And you need another Exodus miracle. God still leads people out of their bondages with Exodus miracles. Oh, maybe at some point in your past, you were soaring high like an eagle, but today you're grounded. You're weary. You feel the strength is depleted from you. You're fainting even. And your age doesn't matter. And you need a God who never suffers a setback to renew your strength today for a fresh liftoff. To renew you to soaring again. Are you weary from this world? Maybe you're here today. How about this? If you've accepted Jesus into your life as your Savior and Lord, come on, put your hand up and wave at me. All right. So we've all had to make this decision, best decision we ever made, to realize I really cannot be the captain of my own ship. I need God to do that. Are you weary from this world today and you need to accept God's offer of salvation through Jesus Christ? You just saw many of those who have already made that decision to raise their hand. And I want you to know that God's word tells us this world's not going to be any better, and the world's not going to come up with a new truth. And we believe that, as God says in His Word, there's still only one way to get eternal life in heaven, and that's to receive the gift of His Son, the gift of His salvation, and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and to wash those sins away and make a commitment. Lord, I'm going to let You be the Savior of my life, and I'm going to commit to follow You as the Lord of my life. Maybe you're beat down by the world today, but this is how you need to renew, and that's asking Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. That offer is for you today, as you've seen already here, or many here already have. Are you weary in your faith today? And you need to renew your faith. You need your faith renewed. You need your trust renewed. You need your spiritual vitality renewed today in the house of the Lord. How about this? Are you weary in your home? Oh, I know we spend thousands, if we have it, on wedding days and the beautiful dresses and the flowers and the clothes and the guests that come and the feasts of delicacies that we serve, and it's a big celebration that comes with vows and so much hopes, but then you start living together and the kids come and life keeps happening, and those hopes and dreams seem so far, they're not even a distant memory anymore. Do you need to be renewed in your home? Are you weary in your home life? Or to use words from Scripture, are you weary and fainting in any area of your life? You run the race of life, and you run here for family, and you run here for work, and if there's any, energy left over, you'll run over here for yourself, and you're just exhausted with the draining and the depleting of trying to keep up in this life, and you're fainting. Maybe your body's ailing. You don't know how you're going to pay the bills. You're questioning, God, where are You in my life? Where have You been? You're fainting in your faith. Oh, are you weary and fainting in any area of your life today? And you need God's strength today to renew you. And as you're standing with me today, please, can I encourage you, not only as an individual, but I believe in the days ahead, God wants to bring renewal to this church. Well, it's nothing new. God has always been in the renewal business, whether it's for the individual, the church, or a nation. That's who He is and what He does. But I believe specifically in the days ahead, there's going to be renewal opportunities for Silver Spring Assembly. I believe in the days ahead, starting as early as today, there's going to be renewal opportunities for you. If you could put on some light music, how about this? Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I'm going to invite you to the altar today if you would like personal prayer. You need to be renewed. You need any of God's renewal strength. Did you hobble in like a penguin, but you want to soar out like an eagle today? Come on up. We're going to pray with you. We're going to believe God for you. God is still in the renewal business. And no matter how weighted down and grounded you are, He can still lift you up today. And He can still give you His strength to soar out of here like an eagle. Come on, are there any others? And I would just ask that there's no spectators here today. Come on, we're the family of God. We need to be praying for one another. I'm going to pray for every one of these individuals that come up today, but I'm going to ask those of you in the congregation that do not come up, we still have a number of minutes left, would you pray, would you please pray for those that are gathering? The Lord has given a word today. It's a word of renewal. It's a word of promise. It's a word of hope. It's a word of strength. It's a word of comfort. It's a word of assurance. How many knows? We read out of Isaiah, but heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. Amen? Amen. Come on, church. Let's begin to cry out to God and pray. We're in no hurry today. We're going to pray for everyone.